Good morning. Sunday morning. We're working through Judges. Today it's probably, some would say, one of the most popular. It definitely has most, I think, the most time spent writing about with Samson, even though he's not named until the last sentence or two. So, but it is all about the birth of Samson and him being foretold. So go ahead and open your Bibles to chapter 13. Let's start with a word of prayer or your Bible program. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for rainbows that I got to see this morning, Lord, knowing that your promises are fulfilled. Thank you for loving us so much. It's in your precious name. Amen. I'm going to do something I very seldom do and go over something Fred went last week.
Good. Good. It needs fixing.
Verse 1, but let's go ahead. Fred, do you want to read 1 through 7? Oh, sorry. Jim, you want to read 1 through 7?
Chapter 13?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. And I didn't ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and now you shall not drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'"
You know, what is some of the significance of in verse 1 that says how many years the Philistines lorded over Israel?
40.
40, okay.
It was 40 years. Long
time. So what's significance?
It's a long time.
Long time.
Well, in this book, it's the longest time of an oppression.
Okay.
Also, not an uncommon period of time or count of items, of people. 40 days, 40 nights, the flood was upon the earth. Many other 40s.
Yeah, well, in 40 for a time of testing type for there is mentioned 146 times in Scripture.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Symbolizes a period of testing, trial or probation. You know, Moses, he lived 40 years in Egypt. Then he lived 40 years in the desert. Then he spent 40 years in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, he took care of three of those 40s.
Yeah.
But it also represents a generation of man. So when they were spent the 40 years out in the wandering, out in the wilderness, the 40 years was the generation that was of adult age that could make a decision to either go or stay. Those people were gone.
So when we're dealing with the leaders, adult leaders in Israel at this time, a great deal of them, all they knew was Philistine domination.
Yeah. And the other thing is they're not complaining. Mm-hmm. The Israelites are not, or some would say the Judites was the area where there was land of Judah part. They weren't complaining about being under the Philistine oppression.
What was that cycle we kept seeing in this book?
Is that they'd be oppressed. They didn't like it because of their religious beliefs and so forth. You know, somebody...
They sinned.
Because they sinned.
Turned away from
God.
Yeah.
And they were being oppressed. Sometimes mm-hmm. God sold them. Sometimes he gave them. Sometimes they came in. You know, it doesn't say, you know, that God turned them over. But, you know, they sinned and they got a ruler over them that, you know, oppressed them, you know. And it was not good. You know, but this time they're not whining. It's been the longest. Sometimes they were complaining after 7 years.
The cycle. There's repentance and crying out to God.
Yeah.
And then the deliverance.
Right. But they haven't cried out to God
and
yet.
And then the cycle would continue. They'd go back and do idolatry, mm-hmm. sin, rebellion against God.
And they go back into fall.
Now we have a broken cycle, but not at a good point.
Yeah, it's they haven't whined yet.
No.
They've just accepted whatever false gods have come in. You know,
well, it wasn't the false gods that ever seemed to bother them. It was the oppression.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like they're getting oppressed too badly this time, or they're used to it.
Yes.
So it's kind of like a partner that's being beaten by their spouse. They seem to think that I deserve to be beaten. Mm-hmm. So, well, he only broke my nose this time, so it isn't that bad. You know, I have all my teeth still. So
I mean, we don't read about raiders coming in. We don't read about crops being burned. We don't read about people getting killed.
Yeah. Oh, one of the other things about with the 40 most significant 40 different people were authors of the Bible. Now this situation, what is different about this situation? How God previously brought forth a judge? Because I mean, right now he's talking about there's going to be a son. Your son's going to be born, but he does say he's going to be driving out the Israelites. So
driving out the Israelites.
Well, not the Israelites, but the Philistines.
Okay. Yeah. He talked about driving out the Philistines, but the people aren't complaining about the Philistines. And so, what you've got here is you have, and this has been an ongoing problem of peoples merging. And you've got people that intermarried. You've got people that were doing business together. You know, they became more and more one people. And this was something that God told them this wasn't supposed to be happening. And they kept going back to this. And the reason that you see such a long period of time with no complaining is because this is what they've done. They've accepted this.
Yeah, the Philistines don't need to go through and burn their crops and torment them because they're freely giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
They had become like the Philistines.
Yeah, and it's kind of like when, you know, the old mobster, you know, you give me 10% of your profit and your windows won't get broken. I'll protect you. Well, the guys now, it's the Israelites are going, hey, I'll give you 15% if, you know, we're only looking for 10. Oh, great, we don't need to go in there and threaten them at all. They're willingly giving us everything we want.
Mm-hmm. But you asked what's different about this selection
of a judge. Yeah.
Judge. All the others were, God knows everybody from their birth.
Right.
But the actual call was as an adult.
Right.
And it'd be a call to can't think of any names now. Ehud or Gideon and
Deborah.
They were already going about their lives when God would
put them into service.
Yes.
Yeah. It was either an adult child of the judge took over for them type deal, but they were still an adult taking over.
Well, it says in verse five, it says, and he shall begin to deliver Israel.
Yeah.
It doesn't say he will deliver them. It says that he will begin to deliver them.
Right.
God has his plan, and it's on a larger scale than they can see.
Right.
And usually that we can see. Because by this time, this is the last judge in the book of Judges. Even though there's more chapters.
Right.
And by this time, Naomi has come back. And Boaz and Ruth have married. Mm-hmm. And have had their first son, Obed, who will be the father of Jesse, the father of David. And all this is in play.
Right, at the same time.
At the same time.
And you've got Samuel and Eli overlapping this mm-hmm. also.
Okay.
You know, and there was definite problems with the Philistines there.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the Israelites previously, you know, called for help. They haven't called for help this time yet.
Or they have it here.
In here, at this point in time, they have not called.
Well, also in this location.
In this location, yeah, they haven't called for help because you're right. It could have been 200 miles away that something else. That God's already got things going into work.
This is confined to Dan.
Judah.
Yeah, Judy and Dan are over here. Yeah.
You know, but they would, you know, they'd either call to God or call for a warrior, mm-hmm. you know, which is what we, the last judge is, you know, mm-hmm. oh, we sent Jephthah out there, you know, let's go, we know he can lead us, so we didn't call to God, but we went to a man.
And the thing here, at this point here, Samson is not referred to as a judge here.
Right.
He will later,
but at this point, it's not like I am raising up a judge here. He just says I'm.
And like you said, things happening. That's where, depending upon the resource, they said is that it's highly possible. Depending on which resource I was reading, said it's highly possible that this it hadn't been 40 years of oppression. Now the angel visits. It's highly possible that during the 40 years is when this started. The visitation could have been 20 years in or something. We don't know. Mm-hmm. In question two, in verse two, the writer states, excuse me, and his wife was barren, had borne no children. What other verses in the Bible told us, you know, what other Bibles have told us what's soon to happen? And, you know, who are some of those people? Well, what other verses in the Bible has told us is soon going to happen. You know, your what angel came to a woman, said, you know, barren woman, had borne no children.
Oh,
that was not in there. So what is the Bible soon going to happen when there's a angelic visitation or prophetic visitation? Many women were barren.
Right. But when
there's been this kind of visitation.
When the writer states, and it's okay, oh, you're, if we, with the visitation that has been told, you know, you're, you know, born no children, with what has happened at other times?
A promise of birth, and it happens.
Okay.
But they were also people that were carrying on the, you know, you see this with Abraham, and you see this with his kids, because
you had Abraham, Sarah, with Isaac.
Yeah, yeah, and then you have it with
Hannah and Samuel.
Hannah,
and they gave birth to Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you also see this with
Elizabeth and John the Baptist.
No, that's the one that's escaping my mind. Rebecca and Jacob. Rebecca couldn't have children at first.
Did she get a visitation though?
Well, no, she didn't have
a visitation. Okay, that was one. I was just wanting to say this one, and then you had, you know, Mary and Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, with, you know, was visited by an angelic being. So it's basically the other one is if they say it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
There might have been a prophet or two who also gave a word like this.
Yeah, we just don't have it recorded.
But angelic, no.
Yeah.
No, there was one, but it wasn't a significant character along the line of something, but it did happen.
So I'm curious. You started out by saying you're going to revisit something from last week.
Well, we went back over and read first one.
Oh.
Fred touched on verse one about the 40 years.
And, okay, yeah. Right. Okay.
No, I'm not. I very seldom have to go behind either one of you to cover things that...
I was hoping you would as part of the chapter.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, it definitely, you know. To start off, there was a certain man in Zorah. Mm-hmm. You know. But yeah, the Israelites had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay. What characterizations of a Nazirite? And some of it's spelled with an I, some of it's with an A, Z-I-R, and some of it's Z-A-R. And some people say, oh, they're two totally different things. It's different spellings. It's how do you spell Anna?
Well, there's a difference here between a Nazirite vow and a Nazirite.
Okay.
You know, in other words, that you have a vow that is taken for a period of time, but then you have people that this was their lifestyle. This is the way they were going to be from here on out. And so, but the characteristics were that they couldn't, you know, touch anything dead, you know, unclean like that. They didn't cut their hair. They not only could they not not drink alcohol, they couldn't eat grape products.
Which means vinegar.
Yeah, right. And, of course, not eating any unclean food,
Yeah. Well, the other thing with what I was reading with the dead, it's not even being under the same roof.
Yeah, you can't go in the room where they are.
Where the dead body is. So if we had a funeral here in the sanctuary.
They have to be out in the courtyard.
Yeah, they have to be outside the walls. Yeah. You know, because there's a dead person there. So it's there. And like when it talks about with the not cutting the hair, they couldn't even comb their hair use a comb or a brush, because that would most likely pull some hair off. Now, if when they walk, they could wash their hair. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, that's why the Rastafarians, they let the hair go in dreadlocks. Well, that's part of it. But if they were to wash their hair, and they washed their hair, and use your hands to pull your hair back, and if hair came out, that was fine. But you couldn't use an instrument to comb your hair.
Is that here or is that custom?
That was with customs, is what they had said. Is that, they could use, you could groom hair with your hands, but not use a brush or a comb. I went through some Jewish stuff on that type of stuff to get some of it. Nazirite was the title of a Nazirite, and the Nazirite vow was back for Numbers during that. But how many Nazirites came before Samson?
They don't really list any, but some said that Samuel might have been one, but that's maybe...
Okay, with Samuel, is about the same time frame,
is that the same time frame, yeah.
Yeah,
there's
none really listed. But they knew Manoah knew, and his wife knew what a Nazirite was. He's going to be a Nazirite.
Well, they probably all knew this.
Right, but they knew the law. So, I mean, that to me is still pretty cool. It's pretty cool to me.
Paul took a vow, and most think that was a Nazirite vow, which would have been for a certain period.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of which, he cut the hair.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can someone be a Nazirite now, today?
If they're Hebrew, I think they could. Because I think it's the other thing. I think you have to be Hebrew, I think.
I wouldn't think so. It was always a voluntary thing anyway. And if God called you to a fast or a partial fast or a vow for a period of time, I think it could happen. You're Hebrew.
Everything I read says you got to do that, and because it would, like, who else is going to do this? That's the other thing. Who's going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, the Philistines aren't going to do it. The Canaanites aren't going to do it.
But it's
Well, then, leaving aside the Nazirite part, I think somebody could take a vow for a period of time similar to this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of the different resources that went about becoming a Nazirite today, and any Jewish person could become a Nazirite by an intentional verbal declaration, including children. Children, and like you said, there is time, but then some people do it for a longer time. But today, a person can still become a Nazirite despite the fact the temple in Jerusalem is no longer standing. Part of where the problem comes in is that without the temple, there's no way to bring the required sin offering at the end to fulfill your vow at Nazirite period. So if you're going to stick to the letter of the law to be a Nazirite, you're going to become a Nazirite today as a permanent until death.
The rest of your life.
Until the temple gets rebuilt and gets sanctified, you're a Nazirite. So there's a lot of things involved with becoming a Nazirite. Fred, you want to read 8 through 14?
Yes. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will the boy's rule of what will be the boy's rule of life and its work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe."
Some would say that, you know, Manoah had doubt, but it's like, I don't think he had any. He didn't have a doubt. He was like, "Oh my goodness." And like when he entreated and he prayed to God, it's like, just in case we miss something, can we talk to him? Can we have affirmation? So he wanted to make sure he was doing right. You know, some person may say he didn't trust his woman. You know, he didn't trust his wife that she told him. Because technically she did leave out that he would begin to drive out the... When an angel said he would begin to drive out the Philistines, she didn't tell him that portion. So there, you know, she did leave out a minor thing.
I can see him wanting some assurance.
Yeah, yes. You know. We've been trying to have kids for years and can't.
Well, it's like he says, "What was his name?" She goes, "I didn't get his name."
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the other part of it is you see an angel... It's understandable you might miss a few details.
Well, but they didn't know he was an angel.
Yeah, they thought he was a man.
They thought he was a prophet.
Well, prophet, he was a man.
They find out later it was an angel, but...
Yeah.
Well, it's like Anna likes me to go to the doctor with her if it's something where there's going to be details, because I pick up on things she does.
Well, that's, you know, my mom and dad now have me sit in, taking notes in the back when they have with their health issues and stuff, just because they're both missing things.
And the angel did not say, "Look, I'm going to tell you things I couldn't tell her because the woman wouldn't have
done." Yeah.
No, he said, "No, what I told her is true."
And this is a reaffirming what I told her.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the consequences of Manoah's request in verse 8?
Consequences?
Yeah.
Well, they've got an assignment.
They now have an assignment.
Yeah. A consequence, but they have an assignment on how to raise their child.
He goes direct to the Lord, too.
He goes straight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing is this is going to impact them now, because in order for him to be a Nazirite, they all of a sudden, or actually she definitely has to start living this way now.
Right. So, it's because what she eats and she does will influence the baby. So they wanted the baby clean. Well, and it does affect him, because what if he's a winemaker? You know what?
It doesn't say that, but
I'm going to say it is. That could be one of the consequences, because this could be their livelihood. I mean, or what if he's a beekeeper?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are different things he's not supposed to do. So it's like...
You're right. It does affect the whole family.
It affects the whole family. I mean, it's kind of like hard to think of it that way, but it's like, you know, he's the funeral director.
Okay.
Oh, great. You know, now all that stuff that she used to do for me, I got to do it myself, because she can't touch, you know. So we don't know what the chance of them being much more than agriculture, though.
That's it.
Because their Danites didn't live in cities. They lived in tents still.
Mm-hmm.
They were still more of the vagabond. They did not take up and build roots. They wandered around still.
They did not take their territory.
Right, which goes back, you know.
Right.
They didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does say that Manoah earnestly prayed for it. He prayed for the second, you know, for the visitation. And he wasn't upset with his wife there. He didn't doubt her. He just said, "This is amazing. I want to hear it myself."
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the heart of her husband did safely trust in her. He did trust her. You know, and he wasn't jealous his wife was talking to another man. He was there. But he does take it for granted that the child of promise shall in due time be given to them. And he speaks without hesitation of the child that shall be born. he was right there for it. He prayed to God that they'd send the same blessed, and he asked for the same blessed messenger again to give them further instruction concerning the management of to be a Nazarite, fearing lest his wife's joy for the promise might have made her forget some part of precept. He wanted to make sure that, like you said, as we saw an angel, this guy brings us information. Maybe she forgot something. Mm-hmm. What do we got? And God graciously, granted his request. He said as he brought the angel, and we don't know who he is. We never did get the name. God will not fail some way or other to guide those by his counsel that are sincerely desirous to know their duty and to apply themselves to him to teach them. Because people say, it's like, when I pray, God answers my prayers. Well, God answers our prayers when they're in alignment with him, with what his will is for us. And some people say, well, that just makes it, people that don't want to believe in God say, well, see, that just proves that he's all out for him. Well, he's out for what's best for us. I mean, how many parents automatically give their kids, a stick of dynamite when they ask for it? Their six-year-old, okay, you want a stick of dynamite? Okay, here you go, Junior. Be careful. You know that it's going to...
Been nice knowing you.
Yeah, it's been nice knowing. We hold back some things, but when they say, Dad, can we go watch the fireworks? Okay, that's what Dad wants to see fireworks, not be fireworks. The kid's asking to be a firework. You don't hold it back. And that's the same with God, is when he wants us to be in line with him, and our alignment is with him, we get what our hearts desire. And it's hard to, figure that out sometimes. Randy, you want to read 15 through 23?
Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you so that we may prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? But the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the young goat with a grain offering and offered it on the rock of the Lord. And he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came about when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now the angel of the Lord did not appear to Manoah or his wife again. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, we will surely die, for we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear things like this at this time.
It says that he did other wondrous things. He did the burnt offering and said he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked at it. I just was like, what did he do? It doesn't say. But it had to have been things that, when the burnt offering is going up, the smoke's going up, that they were able to see things to realize that, okay, this isn't a man. Besides, and in the end, he went up with the smoke and the fire with him. It's like, wow. So I have a feeling that there was some teaching going on about things that their son is going to be doing, things that they need to do. There is some prophecy going on that he led him into some things that...
He's making pictures in the smoke.
He might have. We don't know.
But this is all guess.
It's speculation, but it does say there was...
something, but we don't know
what it was. But I think it was all things to affirm that he was who he said he was,
well,
and that these things can pass.
Everything that God does has purpose. So whatever he did, there was a reason for doing it. By the way, I mean, just to be funny here, but here they talk about being, you know, adapting the Nazarite way, and then they go around and they kill a goat. Is that not now violating that?
Well, that's how my thoughts were the same thing. It's like, so
oh, broke
if
it already.
A Nazarite can't be with a dead body, can they have a steak?
Once you kill it, it's dead. You can't, like you said, you become a vegetarian at this point. You
know? I that's what I would say, but then you can't have fermented drink either. So, but it was.
You have so much for wine with that steak, you know.
Well, anything fermented, mm-hmm. You know, that, anything for strong drink is, you know, you can't have anything to do with grapes.
Sorry, I digress.
I know, but it is. It's like, you know, okay, so. What does a Nazarite eat? Because it doesn't say that. It says, okay, you can't be in place of a dead body, but is a steak a body? I don't, you know, is lamb chop, you know? We don't know. But are Manoah's actions in verses 15 through 20 appropriate? Are they expected, exaggerated, or something else? You know?
For a lot of it, they're not appropriate.
They're not?
No. Because, first of all, he asked for the name of the angel, and I, you know, in some of the research that there was on this whole thing about the name is really, really, I really like what is that name did not refer to, you know, is your name Bob or Phil or Steve, you know, when they ask for name, it refers to, you know, your reputation, your character. Your heritage, you know, your values, these kinds of things. And so we see this all throughout Scripture, is that we have these people that have these encounters with angels, and they go, what's your name? And the angel always says the same thing. What do you want to know my name for? And they don't tell it to them, you know, in most cases. And so, but when you read it, when they ask the name, they're asking these other things about them. They're like, you know, because they don't, you know, it's like, you know, they're here with a purpose. They're a messenger. They're here to do their job and go. And so when the guy says, you know, what's your name? It's like, you know, you're asking me for, you know, my character, my values and stuff like that. And so it just all of a sudden it all makes sense when he says, you know, what do you want to know that for?
But he does say,
you know, he says wonderful here, but the thing about it is, man, to be a messenger of the Most High God, that is wonderful.
But I gave him high marks.
You know,
I was really impressed that he did the proper thing. So I didn't have the same reaction that you did. I thought, that I would be reacting in a situation like that. I thought he did very well.
Well, but that's the other part of it. That's the yes part of this yes and no answer is that, you know, he offered respect. He says, you know, let me serve you something. Because, again, at first he doesn't realize this is an angel. It's a prophet. So he's going to go and kill this animal, and he's going to show respect to the prophet, you know, and do all that. You know,
a couple of different commentaries actually said is that with when he was asking about what is your name, you know, okay, what region are you from? Because when this comes to pass and it happens, we want to be able to go, you know, oh, you're from, you know, Stockton.
Well, yeah,
we want to go back there and we want to let you know that this happened.
Well, that's the other part. He doesn't know this is an angel at this point.
Right. I mean,
so he's doing the natural thing, mm-hmm. Right?
Maybe he was considering that he would give the child the name of the messenger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Possibly. I mean, I kind of look at it as like with one of our former members that was barren for a while and a prophet that came in, spoke over him and said, you're going to have lots of kids. I think they're up to six now. And they came after they'd had like three, you know, come back to visit because I believe it was Suppressa had come in. And he says, do you want me? No, we don't need. And they end up having more, but it, like to let them know that you prayed for us that my womb would be open and, you know, here's our blessing so far. And it was, but it is a sign of come to pass because, I mean, it's got to be nice to somebody that prays over somebody to know that, you know, had been barren all of a sudden, then they had kids. It's, you know, affirmation that, okay, I am doing what God wants.
The womb went vroom.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I understand about demons is that
for those who would be taking them on, that they would ask the name, because it's like bringing the darkness out into the light where they can be more easily defeated.
And like the demons that were at the pigs, it's like, who are you? We're legion because we're many. You know, it does. And, you know, if you ask a demon in God's name further, they got to reply to you because that's how the rules work.
He says, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So is this like a wonderful steak or what?
We keep it up and the potluck's going to be a bust.
No, really. What does it mean?
It means, you know, one. But see, some say that that was a pre-incarnate Christ. There's one resource that says that was, when he said name is wonderful, it was like, that was...
Yeah, that's like wonderful.
Well, counseling. For those who need their theology just so, let's get these numbered. The Father's a second one. Okay, we have them numbered. We have them understood. It doesn't say it is Christ.
Right.
Maybe
right.
It was... But try to insert that in the story. I'm not sure it's appropriate. But yeah, I can see the connection, so he will be wonderful. But this word is more than just, oh, it's really cool. It is beyond understanding.
Marvelous, incredible.
Yeah. My name is just, no. This is way beyond you.
Yeah. Which would fit the whole thing about, you know, being a messenger of the Most High God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like they said, is that they weren't named until, you know, Gabriel and Michael. The angels weren't named, didn't give their names. Mm-hmm. You know, much later.
This is definitely God. I mean, we've been told that before. The angel of the Lord is Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. And then, which would go with the end of verse 20 when it said, you know, the Lord ascended into the flame. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there was reverence there. When the Manoah's, honestly, he Manoah's request was honestly meant, and yet he was denied. He honestly wanted to know, you know, what is your name, just so we can go with this, and it was denied. But God had told Moses, you know, God told Moses his name, and because there is a particular occasion for knowing it, but here there wasn't. You don't need. It was a case of you don't need to know it. But then Manoah also asked, "What do we need to do? You know, for this child growing up, what do we need to do?" So he got told that. But when he asked, just to gratify his curiosity, you know, well, what is your name? You know, it wasn't just this one guy told me this stuff and I'm going to do it. It's like, you know, Bill Johnson told me this. Not just, you know, the speaker there is, you know, Bill Johnson told me this. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, Bill Johnson told me.
They got what they need. He got what he needed.
Yeah, but it was... Yeah.
That was his job.
But if somebody in the mall had, you know, Bill Johnson prophesies over somebody, doesn't say who he is, and leaves, the guy's like, wow, somebody... Who are you? Yeah, Bill Johnson prophesied over me. You know, it's like, yeah, he... You know, it's you know, and that's why the angel doesn't name himself as one thing. So he can't brag about it. He can just say it's the Lord did this.
I know it sounds to me like an engineer.
Is there a pun involved?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
We tend to be where we like to have all the details regardless. When we ask a question like that, we usually don't have any ulterior motive.
Well, here's,
we just want all the details.
Well, here's a guy that he's, you know, at first he goes, okay, this prophet has come to us. He has given us this word. You know, I want to know how to properly steward this. You know, that seems very logical to me.
Yeah.
You know, and then especially after that, you know, when they found, oh my gosh, this was an angel. Wow,
yeah.
It's even more important.
And like one of the comments that one of the commentary says, names of angels were not yet revealed to prevent the idolizing of them. You know,
makes sense.
You know, if I reveal who the names, now people are going to idolize it. Who had the appropriate reaction to the visitation from the angel of the Lord? Manoah or his wife?
Well, in terms of once they realize it's an angel?
Yeah. Oh, wait, you know what?
Did I? I don't see anything inappropriate with either of them.
I mean, they drop to the ground.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, I forgot to put in my the verses need to be... we didn't read those verses, sorry.
We had some very logical, wise words from a woman to Manoah.
Well, actually, now I realize I forgot to read for that question. I need to read 21 through 23.
Well,
now,
he read 21? He read all the way through 23.
Oh, okay. I had it condensed in my... here, okay. But with the... With the reaction, yeah, you did. Sorry, I printed it out on two sides, which throws me off for keeping things in order. Sorry, Manoah, you know, it says, you know, we will surely die for we have seen God. You know,
visceral reaction.
But she said, but his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering. And the burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear things like this time. So she's more grounded. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, we saw God. We're going to die. But her, she's actually thinking logically, like, well, if we die, then we're not going to be having this child. You know, so it's like, hello, you know, things, we can't have a child if we're dead.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, this is so much the thinking back then. And actually I should say, there are people that are like this today, is that, you know, they hear something at this point in history, and that just applies to everything.
Yeah.
And there are some things that do, and there are some things that don't. And exactly right. And so, but then again, logic says, well, wait a minute. If they're going to kill me, then what about that word we just got?
Right.
You know. So she's thinking it through. He's going on. Oh, this is what you do. And she goes, oh, no, wait a minute. Think this through for a minute.
If they were going to kill us, they'd have done it already.
Yeah. You can also think of it as like, this is old school for her. You know, it's like, this is the second time I've seen the guy, so I ain't died by on the second time, I'm not going to die. Yeah, that was your first visit, so yeah, it's like... Yeah. So she's like, oh, it's a little more calm, it's, you know...
Well, their paradigm shifted pretty seriously when they realized who they were dealing with.
Yeah.
But it's good that once they realize this, I mean, even though they do what they don't have to do, it's good that they kind of see this and go into, oh my gosh, this is what you're supposed to do. So there's that good part of like, okay, you did learn your lessons well. That's good. You just didn't think this one through.
Yeah, they're, you know, as they're working through these things, it's they now both have the same word. You know, they've both heard the same thing. So in his wife's reflection upon it, there's great faith. You know, she said, "If we wanted to kill us, he would have killed us. We're not going to die." But here, the weaker vessel was the stronger believer. You know, they say the women is the weaker vessel, but she's actually the stronger believer, which perhaps was the reason why the angel chose once and again to appear to her.
Would it be the men who say that?
The weaker vessel.
Okay,
I noticed you saying that.
But she was the one with the stronger
faces here.
But she was the one strong, because he's in a panic. We're going to die, and she's not. But in reality, in some ways, that was almost her third, because she met him alone. Then she met him again and said, "He's outside, dear. Manoah, you want to come out and see him?" So because he appeared to her before him. Again.
So in a way, that was three times.
So yeah, in a way, this was the third time is when he finally got to see it. It was her third time seeing this. You know. So yeah, it was the old, it's old hat for her, you know. But it's, you know, it's kind of like when people get starstruck when they get to see one of their favorite actors or actresses or baseball player or something.
So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahaneth Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol.
Okay. What information do we get about Samson's childhood?
Well, he's going to be raised as a Nazarite.
Okay.
you know.
Well, we certainly didn't get anything in this.
Well, we don't have details, but the Spirit of the Lord is moving on him.
Yeah, right.
And I said, hey, could we get some detail here? What does that mean in practice? But we don't know.
Well, the good thing is we have the capability of reading chapter 14 and chapter 15. Mm-hmm. And knowing what he did, I think the stir in Mahanadon between Zorah and Eshtaol is Samson's judging and escapades were about Samson. They weren't to lead the whole Israel and drive out all the Philistines. He was more a, you know, mess with them one at a time as his own. He wasn't. So, I think the stirring was as he started his little shenanigans, being a pest, you know, to the Philistines, was the stirring in him is some of the things that were happening there. That's what I think is that.
Could be, but it doesn't say.
It doesn't say, but it was stirring in him. He was developing, he was learning what God is, and he was doing things, and he was learning about his strength, and he was learning all these different things. So he had some things going on. To know what was going on for him.
Before we see him in his escapades, maybe there were a lot of good things happening.
Oh, I'm not saying there weren't, but...
Yeah. I mean, this stirring could have been just something going on internally inside of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it doesn't talk about him actually doing anything here at this point.
Yeah.
So, it's like, it doesn't... Some of that stuff doesn't say.
Right. But we'll see. We'll see what he does next week.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Okay, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for blessing us. We ask you, Lord, to come down and reign during the worship service. Let us be able to feel your presence just envelop us and to let more visitors come. Bring the people in that need to be here for us to fulfill your promise so that we can continue to serve you in the city of Hayward. Give us a good day. It's in your precious name. Amen.